That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel.
Again, and we say good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, and we are coming to you live this morning, this November 25th, 2017, the Saturday after Thanksgiving, and it's a beautiful morning here at the Radio Ranch. Don't quite have the sun up back to the east, almost, but we've got a radio full this morning. And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, Brother John.
Good morning.
And we've got a couple of good guests with us, and we'll see if we can bring them on. And Brother Paul, good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
And we've got Brother Nick from Illinois. Got to have somebody from the great state of Illinois on this morning. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, man.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant. And John, we'd ask you to open us up in prayer, sir.
Sure. Well, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. Like every other day, we ask for your blessings to be upon this broadcast. Father, guide and direct us. Give us wisdom and understanding. Bring to our minds the thoughts of the things that are pertinent to your people, Father, and how we can tie them into Scripture. We thank you for this past Thanksgiving. We thank you for all of the many blessings that you give us, Lord. And we thank you for the trials and the tribulations. We know that you use those to refine us and to make us better Christians. So, Father, we do as your word says. We thank you for all things. We praise you and we love you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Most of all, we thank you for that great sacrifice on the cross over 200 years ago, just to save a wretch like us. Give us a chance to be with you, to serve you in eternity. So, Lord, I ask even now that you would anoint all of us that are on the radio. Father, give us the words to speak. We thank you for the answer to prayers, that the things in the dark would be brought to the light and be shouted from the rooftops, and we're seeing that almost daily. Father, we do pray for protection for those that are yours, Lord, those that their desire is to serve you, not bow their knee to Baal and just tear down the Asherah. So we ask that those things would continue to be revealed. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over ourselves and our families and all that you blessed us with. We just ask for grace and mercy and that you find us worthy to escape the things that are coming. Give the patriarchs of the households wisdom to understand what it is we are to do. Father, help us to recognize and hear and obey the Holy Spirit at the proper time. I ask for your blessings to be upon all of these men who give up their time and their talent and their treasure. Not only those on the radio now, Lord, but those that are listening. Those that continue to support your ministry. Thank you for the opportunity to serve. We give you all the praise and all the glory in the name above all other names, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, here we are the Saturday after Thanksgiving. Folks, we have the phone lines open if you want to call in. The number is 307-745-5913. It's been that same number for almost 30 years. And we continue on. And hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. I know we did here. Friends and family
yeah,
we talked to
did.
Well, good, Paul. How are things there in your neck of the woods?
Oh, I don't know. Depends where you look. If you look up, it's fine. If you look at the news, I don't watch that. So, yeah, it's fine, I guess. You know, you got to. Right now is a really good time to have faith because God's hand is in this, and He's working it out. He don't need us or nothing else. But this baby's coming down. So,
yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend watching the news. I don't have cable TV or anything, but you flip on you look at maybe the little bit of news on the internet on the computer, and it's just the same stuff, different day, different place. I guess it was a big bombing in Egypt, 300 dead. Seems like we had something like that last year as well. You know, the Sunnis and the Shiites are the ragamuffins and the rug muffins. I mean, who knows? It just continues on, and not just overseas. You see here that hardly a day goes by, you know, without shootings and the crime that has increased. And John, I think you brought it out in a previous newsletter article that since the eclipse, hardly a week has gone by. That there hasn't been some new, life-threatening event go on. And that continues.
Yeah, things are a mess over there, you know, and God's, right now we're living in perilous times, we're living in those birth pain times, and it's, you know, one of the things that's obvious to me is that, you know, the tares are separating themselves from the wheat. I mean, there's definitely being a separation. This week, headlines, Church of Sweden worships gender-neutral God. You know, now there's a bunch of sons of bitches, sons of hell is what they are, but they're sticking their heads up high, and they're showing exactly who they are. You know, you think that their gender neutral God is going to save them? They firmly believe it. I mean, and this is spewed up out of Catholicism. The Church of Sweden has a lot of Catholic ties. And you know, they sometimes they claim to be part of the Catholic Church, sometimes they don't. But I mean, there was basically that's where it came from. You look at that. I mean, just in that headline tells you where they're going, and they're drawing people. They're having a mad rush to try to get more people involved with them because they are of their father, the devil. They come to steal, kill, and destroy, and that's exactly what they're doing. And they're making their last dish efforts to try to do that. They basically come out and have said, we are contradicting Jesus Christ. If you read about what they're doing, I mean, that's exactly what they're doing. They're warring against Christ. I mean, it's not just a spiritual battle, it's a physical battle. It is a real life battle, things that are happening in real life. And that's where all this gender neutral and gender transgender BS has come from. And that's why they got it in the news, and they've been trying to shove it down everybody's throat for the last, what has it been now, 3 years, 4 years?
Yeah, you can see, too, that that's the evangelical Lutheran church, too. So that's the church that split, from the Roman Catholic Church.
Exactly.
And what they're saying here is the 251-member council made a decision that goes into effect on May 20th. But basically, there's 6.1 million baptized. They even list that in the article, baptized members in a country of 10 million. But the thing we need to realize is that this group in Sweden is headed by a woman, Archbishop Aunt J. Jacqueline.
Yeah, well, and woman... transgender, who knows, I mean, the way that they're going, it's really hard to tell anymore.
Yeah, it's true.
But, the thing, the matter of the fact is they're warring against us, and they're going to, as they see that day drawing nearer too, they're going to try to destroy as many as they possibly can.
Yeah.
It's now's the time, John prayed, we got to listen to the Holy Spirit. We got to, be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, but be ready for battle also. You see things like this happening. I mean, that's when things can get real ugly. One of the things that I firmly believe that the judgment starts in the house of God. Why do I believe it? Because the Bible says it. It makes it pretty simple. But things like this, they are going to be judged. And they're trying to, damn as many people to hell as they possibly can at these last times. And there's people that are supporting it. I mean, you can't have a church this big and have it still standing if people weren't supporting it.
Yep. You said judgment starts first in the house of the Lord. You know why it starts there?
When?
Do you know why the judgment starts in the house of the Lord?
Why?
Because that's where it's wrong.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Good point.
No, that's where it's wrong. If he's going to start with his own, and then where will it end? I believe the rest of that verse says, So, it's a time. It's a time for a decision.
Yeah. 2 Thessalonians 2:3, let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being a God. Of course, now it's not going to say he, it's just going to say God through the whole thing in their Bible, but that's the thing we have to realize is God told us that none of these things would take place until the great apostasy, the great falling away. And just like you said, when you see it by the millions in the churches, well, then you know that we're seeing prophecy fulfilled.
Yes, and it's...
Well, and one thing that I know for a fact is that the country of Sweden's been attacked. I mean,
absolutely.
Attacked and attacked and attacked. It was 17, 18 years ago when I was last time I went to Sweden, and it was absolutely beautiful. And you saw it was like going back to Minnesota. I think that's why targeted Minnesota so bad? You know, blonde-haired, blue-eyed people, healthy people that were eight good, just, I mean, the picture perfect. And the society was clean. I mean, everything was clean. You did not see Muslims there. There was no Muslims. Never saw one Muslim that while I was there. Only spent one day in Sweden, but it was absolutely, you know, a very, very racially pure people. Blonde hair, blue eyes, everywhere you went. And, you know, it had been targeted over the last 17 years. Now it's gotten so bad with the Muslim, with them bringing the Muslims, migrants in, it's, you know, you can't walk the streets anymore.
Yeah, I saw
you
thing in Mall of America that had, it just looked like you were in another country. It was all wall-to-wall Muslims, and now the American people who support those stores and keep that mall going aren't going to go there anymore. And, you know, we're going to start to see these malls and all this other stuff just fail.
Yep.
Paul, did you have a comment on that?
Yeah, I was going to say, if you watch old baseball games on old TV, you know, in the 50s and stuff like that, you couldn't even find anything but a white man in the stands or at the game. I mean, that wasn't that long ago.
And look how you...
No, I think in the 70s.
And you look how they were dressed,
you know,
as well.
I used to watch baseball. Yeah.
Yep, and you look how they were dressed as well.
They 70s.
Were, yep, they were... And you didn't have... you didn't have armed security guards. You didn't have... metal detectors to get in. The people were. They might yell a little bit, but that was about it. They were respectful. They respected one another. That was our culture. And it has certainly changed.
Well, when I went to high school, I guess I'm older than all of you. In the 60s, everybody came to school dressed the best they knew how. They all looked nice. You know, there was the poor that didn't have as much and stuff like that. But in 1968, I remember this little Jew came into the thing, and he brought the marijuana and everything like that. And, you know, and that's when Pierre speak that message, that 40 years from 68 to 08. And that's when she all started going downhill, big time. But I'm telling you, in school, everybody was dressed nice up till that point, the best they knew how.
Yeah,
there's some encouraging things going on. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I was talking to one of my sons the other day about that.
Yeah, I can't understand Nick at all.
I can't hear him either.
Oh, you can't hear me?
That's a little better there.
Okay, sorry about that. But no, he's talking about that dress. You know, even when I was in school in the 70s, I guess that battle was raging pretty well, and you know, I remember in school, if you had your shirt tail out, you know, somebody called you out on it, you better have that tucked in, and no hats in the building, all that. So that battle was still raging. Of course, it's gone now, but yeah, I think like Paul said, it started with that hippie generation. They really put the push on and made a big culture change.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I can remember growing up had a book that talked about peoples of the world, and you know, growing up in Central Florida in the 70s, it was Hicksville. I mean, we were out in the country, and I remember having a book like a Time Life book, and it showed, you know, the natives out in New Guinea and in Africa, the Sudan and places like that, and they were the only people that had the big hoops in their ring, in you know, rings in their ears, and the big piercings and that type of stuff, because that was their culture. And now we see, you know, just as we've seen the dress decline, we see that as part of our culture today. I think Laramie, 30,000 people, has got 4 tattoo and piercing shops, and of course they've all come in the last 6 or 7 years, and we see that all over. That the enemy has done this. They brought these other cultures in, and we've been more than happy just to accept them as a people anyway. to yep. where it has changed our culture to where we have, and we see that, we see the result of that over in Europe. The invasion, the churches with their worshiping, these false deities that we read about all through the Old Testament, that the people have just returned to that Baal worship that our pastor taught about. And that's what it is. And we're told not to be like the other people, not to worship their gods, not to do the things they do. But we haven't heeded that warning as a people, and here we are.
Yep.
Well, the people like it that way. Let me tell you, I came. Yeah. I was a deacon at a pretty young age, and I went in this church, and I figured out what was going on. I was figuring it was a struggle, but. Long story short, anyway, they made me a deacon. I said, I'll never go back in that room. And I was a youth leader for a while, and I'd got to know these kids and families and stuff like that. And those parents would not even change for the good of their own children. They sacrificed those children for their own selfish will. And this is deep, and this is in the church that I was raised in, and I left that church on the verse of having a form of godliness, deny the power of Jesus Christ, from such withdraw thyself. And that's the verse that I left that on. And I don't know if you ever read that book, 50 Years in the Roman Church. That man worked 50 years in that church and couldn't fix it. You got to come out. I mean, it's just the way it is. You know, you have to accept people for what they are. People make choices. That's the only way I can cope, is people make choices. You can tell them I care about them, but they don't care about themselves or their children. So it's kind of hard to watch, but... That's just, you can about imagine when Noah got on the boat, all them people he knew, they made choices. You know, he preached to them 100 years.
Amen.
Yeah.
So.
Romans 8:22 tells us, we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. And we do. I know just what you're saying. You know, Paul, even over the years, people would call in here to the ministry and would, would see that very thing. Whether it's friends or family or church members, and just say, why are they doing this? Why don't they see? Why don't they, don't they realize that they're losing their children over this? Hosea 4:6, you forget me and my law, and I'll forget your children. And that happens. That's a truth of God, as much as it's true that Jesus died on the cross, and the people don't apply it. And that sighing and groaning out, a yearning for the people's eyes to be opened.
Well, you take this ministry, we've had a lot of sighing and groaning just to keep this thing going for the love of our fellow man. How effective has it been? I guess we really won't know for some time, but it is important that it's put out there, whether they take it or not. That's where I think everybody on this station that we're talking right now is coming from. It is me. This has to go out, whether they listen or not. So,
yes. Amen.
A couple good things going on. You see, there's quite a few lawsuits of parents and students filing lawsuits against the government and against states and against schools for trying to bring in the transgenderism into the locker rooms and into the bathrooms and things. So I think that's encouraging. The other thing, I read an article the other day that said the third annual Global Atheist Convention, ironically dubbed Reason to Hope, has been canceled due to dismal ticket sales in Sydney, Australia. So that's another good sign. Because I remember when the Obama Nation was in there, almost every day you were hearing lawsuits of the Freedom From Religion Foundation and how they were going in and tearing this down and taking that down and suing this person, and you don't hear that right now. especially because of the executive order that President Trump signed here just a month or so ago about the religious freedom. So, of course, they can use that against you too, but...
Definitely something's different. And, you know, there's a lot of, like you said, if you look and there's some good science going on, just that people are changing their mind, you know. There will be people that turn back, you know. That's it. You know, the whole difference between Christianity and the world is humility. You know, to say I was wrong and accept God and do it His way rather than, you know, pride will run you right square into death. Pride comes before the fall, and that's the whole difference there. You can swallow your pride and repent, or you can go down with it.
Yeah, well, our pastor used to always teach us that, in, you know, back when things were right and wholesome and moral, it was the preachers that basically set the pace for the way that people voted, the way that people lived, and you don't think the enemies know that. I mean, you can see more of a deterioration in society over the last, what, 20, 30 years because they had focused maybe 50 years on the ministries and on the churches.
Yes.
Well, they basically took over the seminaries in the early 1900s already. I mean, it's been downhill ever since because this didn't just happen. There's so many things that happened. The IRS, the Bible says not to withhold a man's wages overnight. Those people were halfway moral back then. They should have been nipped right in the bud. I mean, it's been just downhill ever since.
Right.
So it didn't just happen, but she's coming to a head.
Yeah. Amen. Folks, if you're listening in and you're wondering, where does this stuff come from? Well, it comes from the Bible. It comes from other historical books of the true history of our country. Being that we've just experienced Thanksgiving, of course, we've been promoting the book, The Light and the Glory. Used to be, Jason, you went to a Christian school early on. You had that as a history book, didn't you? Did I remember that right? Yeah, early on, just, you know, not 100 years ago. But you know, just in the last generation, there's another book we carry. It's called The Chaplain and Clergy of the Revolution. And if you wanna read some facts, you wanna read some real, true Christian preaching from the pulpits of a very early America, order that book from us. And it does. It's chocked full of the sermons and preaching that were given that enabled only 3%, but enabled these new colonies to stand up and to proclaim no king but Jesus and to beat the biggest world power that there was at the time. Of course, that's not taught in school anymore. You know, the whites are taught to be ashamed of who they are. But we carry that book, Chaplain and Clergy of the Revolution, if you'd like to take a look at it. It is, and it reads like a novel. It truly does. Got a caller? Let's see if we can get the phones this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Good morning, caller. Well, I guess not. Folks, the lines are open, 307-745-5913. Did see a little thing, Jason. I mentioned it to you before the broadcast. It caught my eye that, like you said, John, on a positive note, that the 2018 National Defense Act would be signed by President Trump and that would allow the... what, 200,000, half a million 1911 sidearms, firearms, pistols that the U.S. military is not using anymore, that it would allow them to be sold available to civilians. And I just saw a blurb, Jason. I didn't know if you had any more on that, but it sure looked good.
Basically, it's going to go through the civilian marksmanship program. There's about 100,000 of them that... you know, over the Obama administration, they've been destroying them. They've been, you know, taking all these things, the brass, the bullets, the ammunition, the firearms, and just destroying them. And basically on these handguns, it costs the government about $2 a day per firearm to keep them into storage, is what they figure, is what their numbers say. So they decided they've had them, they've had to get them off the books because it's something that, as far as they're concerned, is an obsolete weapon. They moved on to bigger and brighter, greater things. But they are going to release them, going to be available through the Civilian Marksmanship Program, like things used to be done years ago. I mean, I haven't seen them get much shipments of anything in, it's been at least 10 years, closer to 20 years from when they were really had a whole lot of stuff that they were giving out or selling. And, you know, basically it's, you know, it issues, you have to be a U.S. citizen, you have to be able to show proof of age, and you can be part of one of those groups and you can get it. It was, the Civilian Marksmanship Program was actually a really neat program when it was designed and set up, and it was to take all the military surplus rifles, handguns, shotguns that the U.S. military had in storage after the wars, is to get them refurbished, get them back into working condition, and to train the people to be able to defend themselves as a last line of defense if we ever got invaded. And that's what it was set up for. And it used to be huge across the United States. They had training camps. They still have in a lot of places, predominantly back east. They have civilian marksmanship matches and a lot of programs and a lot of training centers. And you can go and get trained. And you know, they use everything as a standard. Was a standard at one time, a military issued weapon. They still have a lot of M1 Grand shoots, O3A3 shoots, pistol shoots, 22 shoots. Military still used for a long time 22 rifles to train people how to shoot a rifle, because they're basically taking a lot of people that are coming from you know, square one to being able to put them into a combat situation. So it was a really neat program that they had for a long time. And it just pretty much died out over the last 10-20 years because they couldn't get anything. It used to be a way to get inexpensive ammunition by the case, and people would, once a year you were allowed to get one rifle, you were allowed to get one case of ammunition, and that's what they did. They haven't been getting anything for a long time, so this is pretty exciting that they're going to be getting in. I think this is going to be the first of quite a bit of stuff that they get in.
Awesome. I can remember, you know, maybe 20 years ago, like you said, you would see advertisements like in Field and Stream or Guns and Ammo, and you know, in years past, they'd have full page ads, Civilian Marksmanship Program. They might have Garands available, or you know, like you said, the old 22s and that type thing, and nothing in at least the last 20 years. And you know, we've some of us still have boys at home, and you know, they would it would be a great piece of history, a great piece of our history, you know, to be able to go through this and to be able to, you know, to leave one of them, you know, an old 1911 45. You know, that might have been used in World War II, something along those lines. I mean, that it's our history, it's our culture. We hear so much today about, oh, we have to be acceptance of other people's culture. You know, they rape little boys over in the Middle East. We have to be cognizant of that culture, and we can't speak against it. They tell our military troops that kind of crap, if you can believe it. And we have to, you know, be you know, the culture of these Muslims, they behead people. That's what they do. It's part of their culture. Well, to hell with their culture. Let's bring our culture back. And this Civilian Marksmanship Program is part of it. I don't know exactly where it says it, but it seems like I remember that we were to continue to train for war in the Old Testament. That was one of the reasons God didn't wipe out our enemies. So he was going to leave them there so we would be able to continue to train for war. Because that's how it is.
Yeah, we better step up our prayers too, though, as these things become more and more prevalent, gun rights and releasing those weapons and things like that. You know, the enemy's going to try to step up their false flag events to to try to get the people's opinion to go against that and promote gun control. I mean, we can see that already over just the last several months.
Yes. Yes, we do see that.
The good part, it ain't working.
No.
Gun
sales go up every time something like that goes on.
Yeah. Paul, doesn't it seem that way? That every time, the people, it seems like they see through it more and more as well. When these things happen.
Well, if you can't, you're blind.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, they had plans to kill a lot more than 50 in Vegas. And the fact that there was only 50 was grace of God, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, and the shooting in Sutherland Springs, Texas, a few weeks ago at that church, at that First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas. It was a good guy with a gun that stopped the bad guy with a gun. And
probably why we don't hear nothing about it anymore.
It's fallen off the radar. It really has. You won't, because it doesn't fit the left antichrist communist agenda, to promote that type of thing. You know, that shooting down in Walmart, we talked about it in Walmart down in Denver here just a few weeks ago as well. Even the police reported it took them about 6 hours to determine exactly who the shooter was, because, of course, every inch of Walmart's is under constant video surveillance, and they have all that recorded. But they said there were so many people that pulled their own concealed weapon to defend themselves that they had to, play those out to make sure that, okay, this guy's got a pistol in his hand. Let's go from this camera to that camera. Okay, we see him. No, he put his pistol back in his pocket and rejoined his family and went home. Okay, that's not our shooter. Let's go back and see this. There were several, they said. Now, several, that I doubt that means three. And it took them 6 hours to go through that surveillance tape, is what they reported. Because there were several, even in Denver, Thornton or wherever it was. And so the people are waking up. People are waking up. People are arming themselves. It's sure good to see that that's happening in the physical. We pray that it's happening in the spiritual as well.
Yeah, another encouraging thing was, if I don't know if you heard Trump's President Trump, we give him the respect he deserves, unlike most of the left. But anyways, President Trump, Thanksgiving Day proclamation, he invoked the name God 8 times in that proclamation. And by contrast, I read an article about contrasting President Obamanation to President Trump, and over the 8 years, President Obamanation only used God once. Trump, although he didn't use the name Jesus, which I wish he would have, but he did use the name God Almighty. And it's kind of interesting. They go back and they look at some of the Obamanation speeches on Thanksgiving, and if you have ears to hear, then you could see that most of the years that he was president, he was trying to get the people to give thanks for the feast, to give thanks to the Indians for helping them survive. It wasn't anything to do about God's grace and mercy and giving thanks to him. So I thought that was encouraging as well, to have a president who finally basically says, let's see. Now I have to find it, but it is now. Therefore, I, Donald J. Trump, President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim Thursday, November 23rd, 2017, as a national day of thanksgiving, and I encourage all Americans to gather in homes and places of worship to offer prayer of thanks to God for all of their many blessings. It went in witness whereof I have hereunto set my hand the 17th day of November in the year of our Lord 2017, and on the independence of the United States of America, the 200th and 42nd Thanksgiving.
Amen. You know, it's different. It's better. We've talked about that over the last year that we've had this new president. It's better than the abomination. Better is better. We agree in that the better is not so that people will just say, oh, everything's fine now. Let's get back to the, you know, just the beer and the football. Have you seen football ratings plummet? Because that's better. It's better. And the people are. There is an awakening. There is an awakening. Like Isaiah says, awake, awake, O Zion. You know, clothe yourselves in your beautiful garments. Well, you know, the wake-up process is just that. It's a process. It's a rumbling, and it's a, you know, a yawning and a stretching. And, hey, wait a minute. Something's different when I woke up today. Something's different. You know, I don't want to watch that NFL crap anymore. I'm going to say no when the perverts try to come into my child's school, for those that still have children in public school. Things are different. Things are better. And we have to continue out, like you said, Paul, continue on to be the spokesperson, to be the people that maybe last year or 2 years ago when we talked to somebody or mentioned something, you know, that it fell on deaf ears. Well, now things are better. Things are different. We share the gospel message with people, the hope of the gospel, and very well may fall on fertile ground when we share that today.
Sometimes you got to look in the mirror. You know, when I started waking up, I ain't the same person when I started waking up either. I went down a lot of dead end trails looking for stuff. You know, a huge amount, and to get to where I am today, and I think I could save a person a lot of dead end streets if they want to listen, because I've tried them all.
Yes.
You know, and that's what when my point is, when you start to wake up, you're not like you are when you're more mature. So
yes.
It's a good time when you see someone even asking questions. That's profound. So
yes, it is.
Absolutely.
Well, Brother Nick, you've been kind of quiet. I know we've been filling up the time, but how are things going in rural Illinois? I know talked to you for a minute yesterday, and I appreciate the advice. They hooking the red wire up, like you said, sir, worked, and the wife is happy. She's got the light back on, so that's good. So I appreciate
all right.
that. So how are you seeing things there? I know you're working day and night.
Yeah, got a lot of work. That's a blessing in and of itself. But, yeah, you know, just with this talk this morning, what kept coming to mind and did early on was that parable in Matthew 13, the wheat and the tares, you know, and Paul kind of triggered a lot of those thoughts, and Jason too. But, you know, to me, this awakening and the tares sticking up their heads just reminds me of that parable, and we're just kind of seeing the quickening of the end of the age as it draws near, you know. And so, I mean, that's all that's supposed to happen. The tares are going to stick up more and more, but at the same time, just like in the physical world, Paul will know this very well, I think. When the wheat starts bearing its fruit toward the end of that harvest, you know, those wheat heads start bowing down. And what kind of just occurred to me this morning, too, is, you know, the more fruit that it bears, then the more weight's going to be on it. It's going to be bowing down lower, which is a sign of protection for them in that parable, you know, because those tares will be sticking up and be visible to everybody, and they're the ones that's going to get it first. So, you know, it's just something that parable that we can see some of the manifestations of it in the physical realm right now. You know, we're seeing more of the movement of it, just like you're talking about. More people are waking up, and I think that was real good advice from Paul, that we got to remember when we are first waking up, and we can't just throw everything on them right now. They're not able to bear it. And just remember those times when we were going through that process, and try to just help them along as best we can. And it is encouraging to see it. And I think, as John mentioned, a lot of this is a result of these prayers. For I think we've been doing that pistol and rifle prayer for 10 years, hasn't it, Ben?
Every bit of it. Every bit of that much, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we're seeing the fruit of that. And there's more. I know in my daily prayers, I pray that the Lord would increase that spirit of confusion in the camp of the enemies, that they continue to, you know, turn and devour one another. And we're seeing more and more of that at the same time. And you know, I think just as the Apostle Peter said, that they're not unaware of the destruction to come, and they know their time's short. I think that's why you see the surge that they're putting on, and they know the urgency of it. But then in return, you know, that just wakes up more of our people too. I know it'll bring some of them down, but it'll also awaken them, or help to. Just like Paul mentioned, it all comes down to a choice. And there's going to be those who just choose not to follow him. So it's just the way it's got to be. But it occurred to me one time, you know, just that the Lord really just gives us everything we ask for when it gets down to it. You know, if you live a life and choose to be separate from him, he'll grant you your wish. And, you know, what are they going to say in the judgment? You know, all he's got to do is tell them, I gave you everything you asked for.
Yep.
And everything you wanted, and you chose to do it, and I let you do it. So it really does get down to that when you get to the bottom line.
Amen. Amen. Make the right choices. Choose life, yeah. You know, we're told. Choose life.
Yeah. I gave a message in Bronson one time, and it's about feed my sheep. And the thing of it is that you have to remember, when you're talking to a person and they change the subject, immediately shut your mouth, because they're going on mental overload. But some people just want to keep talking, just keep force feeding them. But they've told you right then and there they can't handle no more, and don't push it any further.
Yeah, yes. That's excellent advice.
Yes.
I remember you saying that. Yeah, and I took it to heart when you said that. So there's a little encouragement there too, Paul. You know, keep speaking those things, because it gets heard. And I know that was a change I made for sure. I remember recognizing that afterwards, and somebody gave you that signal that they're done. Well, I just shut up then.
That's the perfect time. But if you study how Jesus operated, Jesus asked more questions than he preached anyway. He would ask a question, and it's a good way to get things. You ask a question, see, and in court too, you put the burden of proof back on them. They have to come up with the answer. You can't change anybody. There's a certain person that said they needed somebody to straighten them out. Well, I haven't had a chance to talk to them, but I'm going to have to tell them. They have to make the choice if they want to change. I can help you if you need it.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
But at least, you know, they ask the question. So, I mean, and that's like a bright light to me. You know, most people just walk right over it, but that's just a huge bright light to me when somebody asks somebody like that.
Yes.
Amen. Well, guys, the phone's ringing. Let's see if we get a phone call this morning. Good morning. Thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, Richard. It's Anthony from New Jersey.
Good morning, Anthony.
So a couple weeks ago, you guys were talking about the NFL, and a couple weeks ago, there was a sports bar not too far away from here who advertised, we picked it up on a news feed out here, that they weren't going to play on the weekend, they weren't going to play any NFL games. It was like a sports bar restaurant over in Farmington.
Wow.
And it was interesting because the comments were all, this place is going, no one's going to go there, it's going to be empty, you know, laughing and kind of mocking it. Well, Mary and I went over there for lunch, decided to go over there, and the place was busting at the seams. We put our name in for a table, and it was over 2 hour wait.
Oh, that's awesome.
To get something to eat.
Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
So we went out to get something to eat before we went back there to get something to eat, just to be part of the, you know, the group of people.
Sure.
And they had some news channels there in this local news channel 12, New Jersey News or whatever they call it. But, you know, and they made sure they brought a black cameraman, because everyone was white in there. Not that, because it's basically a black movement, this whole kneeling of the national anthem. So, I don't know, and they had some other black guy there, you know, with their crew. And just wondering if they decided to bring them there to try to incite something. But otherwise, it was just awesome. It was such a good feeling to see people, deny or get together in response to this protest. And it was really cool. So I just wanted to bring that up.
Yeah, thanks for doing that. You see how God
continues.
You see how God blesses when you know, we try to teach our children that you know, when you make a choice, like you were saying, Paul, when you make a choice to serve God, that means that life's going to be perfect, but He will bless you. The blessings come when we choose to serve God. Now, you know, again, it's not always a rosy road, but blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that works in a home, that works in a business. Blessed is the business who makes the right choices. That's encouraging. It really is. It really is. Thanks for sharing that.
Have a good day, gentlemen.
I want to tell you a story about, you know, back when I was in the youth leader there, I had 30 kids coming to this group, you know, and I had a huge impact on more than I knew, because down the road you hear things and stuff like that. But my transparency, when I would say, I don't know, you know, but I'll look into it for you and stuff like that, but I was transparent. I was kind of out of duck out of water what I was, but if you're honest, God picks, look at the imperfect people. You know, Hosea married a prostitute. David, look at the rascal, all he did, you know. Yeah, He picks imperfect people, but an honest person can have a huge impact on people.
Yes. Yes. And we plant seeds. You know, we don't plant 40-foot oak trees. We plant seeds. Like you said, Paul, sometimes you plant a seed, and then sometimes you just have to shut up. You just have to plant the seed and hope somebody else waters it, hope it gets watered, hope it falls on fertile ground, and trust that it does, and continue to plant those seeds. And those seeds will work on awakening people. Those seeds will grow into the mighty oaks, the mighty cedars that they need to. We just have to continue to plant the seeds, and you're right, that honesty certainly goes a long way in getting that seed planted.
Even what I do in my sales, sometimes I'll say I don't know, even when I do know, just to, you know, and I'm telling you, it has a lot more credibility, and they have an answer for everything.
Good point.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. I've seen that happen a lot, you know. And, you know, some of the times it's you just ask questions and let somebody figure it out on their own.
That's key. They've got your children. They got to figure it out on their own. You know, I was going to raise my kids perfect, and I started seeing rebellion. I had to back off and give them their head. But you know, I had it all figured out at one time, and I didn't have it figured out. So anyway, here I am.
Here we all are.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, you got to think back too. You know, Trump got in. There's a huge amount of people out here that are different. Maybe not exactly as we see it, but there's something going on big time.
Yeah, it's a change. It is a change. You know, the thought occurred to me, Jason, when you were telling everybody about the civilian marksmanship program and how everybody used to do it, was wasn't there a quote? I remember something about the Emperor of Japan or something, that they wouldn't. Maybe after they invaded, or after they attacked Pearl Harbor, or before, but that they wouldn't invade because they thought they would find a gun behind every blade of grass, an American with a gun, something along those lines.
Yep.
And so, see, even back
in the barrel coming out of every blade of grass in the United States. That's what a lot of people on foreign countries thought of the United States.
Right. And maybe not every blade of grass now, but there's a lot behind a lot of wheat, that's for sure. There is. And
and don't put too much faith in your gun either, because
and I don't mean
to. You better have faith.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, and I don't, you know, we talk about that. And that's a good counterbalance there, Paul. Sometimes we do. We talk a little bit more about our firearms and not our faith, but they have to go hand in hand. And again, I think back to that book, The Clergy of the Revolution. There were many times that you went to church with your firearm, like people do today. Imagine that, like some people do anyway. That we certainly are to have that faith. That it is God that delivers. It truly is. Well, guys, we're wrapping up the hour. Don't know if you have a quick comment for a minute or two as we wrap up here this morning, this Saturday morning, November 25th.
No, I didn't have anything I wanted to close out with.
All right. Well, guys, thank you.
It is.
Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, it's a time to be thankful. You know, it is a time to be thankful. Thankful is a way of life. It's not really a day, so it's just a way of life.
Amen. Amen. You know, you think back to those pilgrims here at Thanksgiving, and half of them had died within the first couple years. Yet they were still thankful. So. Well, guys, men, thanks again. Thank you guys for getting up and joining us this morning for Coffee with the Wranglers. We sure appreciate it. And we want to make a quick invite to church. We're going to have church in the morning, tomorrow morning, Sunday morning, starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain. That'll be 9:30 Central and 10:30 Eastern. And we do encourage you to come and join us and have fellowship with us. We'll have communion and some good, solid biblical teaching from our pastor. We'll have a live sermon from Brother John. So we encourage you, come and join us for church. And you can do that by coming to the website, scripturesforamerica.org, and clicking on the live video stream starting at those times. And, hopefully we'll see you there. Thanks again, men.
Rolling, shake high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hell send forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is...